Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Kingdom Justice, and this is your host Courtney Jones speaking. And today we're back. We're back with an interesting message. We've been trying to get this schedule back on. We had some things that happened, and it seemed like this is what the last couple of weeks, this is what God really wanted us to do. And I know we had one good message last week, and we was able to have another good message this week. We got for you. So I'd ask you to bear with me, trying to get these, making sure everything's all right with this here, and we can get ready to go. I think the volume is fine and everything. So last week we went off on talking about the last teaching we did. We were talking about people who hate the Gospels. And we talked about how people hate the Gospels and how it was haters of the Gospel. And we see so much of this, the haters of the Gospel. And a lot of times the haters of the Gospel that we see, usually they are not actually people so much just who are not born again. We have more people who are born again that's haters of the Gospel, as we see more than anything. So today we got an interesting message we're talking about today, and today we're talking about washing feet. And that's the biggest question. Why did Jesus wash feet? And a lot of times everybody say, we all say, well, the reason of the washing of the feet was he was washing away sins, people's sins. And this is the first thing most folks think. This has always happened that way. Most time we talk to people about it, the first thing they'll say is, well, hey, he was washing away their sins. And that's not true. That is not true at all. And it's been preached that way to a degree, and some people see it that way to a degree, but that's not what he was doing. He was not washing. It was not about washing away their sins. It was actually about comforting them and refreshing them from the battle that they was already coming out of, or they was coming out of. And so a lot of times people don't pay attention to those things, and those things get mistaught and misteaching. That's one of the things that we see that have been going on a lot in the church. It's misteaching, and people are just not lining themselves with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. And this happens, and this is happening so much in the churches for years. And we're talking about years and years now, because the church have become complacent. And when you become complacent, they become complacent and man pleasers. And when you become complacent and man pleasers, it's gonna be a very, very bad situation. Now, because the fact of the matter, complacency kills. It's like anything. If a person complacent where they are in life, and we just want to stop there. When a person complacent, like for instance, if a guy say, "Hey, I'm happy with this pay grade at $30,000," well, he's not gonna go no further. He's not going to go no further. And eventually, he may even lose that. Complacency kills. Fool dies in his complacency. Complacency kills. And what we find out with people is that people a lot of time become complacent to please others and also to please their self. Now, notice that Jesus washed the feet. He was showing that he was going to bring the comfort. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He comforts all who mourn. Not you who trying to live in comfort. I was recently, anybody that know me lately, I'm trying to lose weight, and I've been working out, trying to lose a lot of weight and eating right. And one of the things I kept hearing people say is people have a hard time with comfort foods, junk foods and foods of this nature. And me, my own self, can testify to this. It is a comfort food. It does become this comfort food. Even if you don't see it, it becomes that comfort. And a lot of times people have took this same strategy with the Word of God, and not just with the Word of God, but walking in it. They took this comfort where it's like, hey, listen, I eat that broccoli, I eat that celery, I eat some of those things that are healthy, but it's a line drawn where I'm not going no further with eating that, or I'm not going to put away all these things that I'm eating that are terrible for me. And that's what a lot of time people do. It's a line. It's boundaries that people put where I'm not going no further than this. You see, and that's why when Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, a lot of times people have this boundary that they have, that they're following him to a degree. But when it becomes uncomfortable, you see, when something becomes uncomfortable, when the enemy's attacking, things are happening, things, strange stuff happening to you. You was fine 5 minutes ago. Now something all coming upon you, trying to attack you, it seems. The hitchhike spirit of fear attacking people, anxiety, stressing people, intimidating people. Things of these natures happening, and people at your job around you are coming against you, family members hating you, friends that you knew for years leaving. A lot of times those discomfortable, you know, things that they're uncomfortable things, they're things that are starting to change, because when God comes in, those things start to just happen. And people start to forget this, you know, and they started, they want to change on their own, you know, their own timing and the way they want to. And it got to be comfortable. All of a sudden, when God comes around, things start to change. You're in the war. Things are changing. God is pulling things out. Things are happening. All of a sudden, you know what? I'm losing my friends. I'm losing this. I lost my position here. Everybody's acting this way with me. I feel all alone all the time. Or whatever. See, these are things that are going to happen. That's going to happen. Any believer that have not had this happen to you or walking in this happening quite often, something's wrong. And something's wrong with your walk, and you're forgetting that you are not in war. You have been complacent. And this goes back, this goes to, a lot of this goes back to just the order of the church. Now, when Jesus was operating, he was the whole example of the whole thing, the whole body, the whole church. And so notice how he was operating in all the ministries. He was operating in all the fivefold ministries. He was operating as one unit in this, and he was operating in it. And he was giving you bits and pieces of how it works throughout his story. If you paying attention, he was doing this throughout the story. He sent guys out two by two, represent the apostle and the prophet. He was sending them out first. He was coming through like the evangelist. So he was showing you how the three male ministries work. Then you had, of course, you have the two females, which is the teacher and the pastor. Now, we start to talk about this. Sometimes this confuses people. And a lot of this, because, you know, no matter what we do, a lot of this is going to come back. Like, washing the feet, this is going to come back to this. This is why I'm saying it right now. It's going to come back to this, and this is why I'm trying to get this into you. I don't want to go too far in it because we got a long lesson to go. But I want you to understand what that means. Now, when we got so we look at the 5-4 ministry. We look at the three males. The evangelist, the apostle, and the prophet. Those are three men. Those are three men, okay? Now, we went through the spirit of adultery. If y'all check back with my teaching that I have, excuse me, when you check back with the teaching I have with the spirit of adultery, it talks about in the spirit of adultery, teaching that when we see how when the devil comes around, the tempter, the adulteress, he comes around and want to get someone to commit adultery with him. You know, you notice that when he comes around to do that, that the male is never around. The male is never around. We went into this when we went to the story of this and went to Jacob. Remember how, Joseph. Remember how Joseph had the Egyptian lady wanted to come on to him. Notice that her husband wasn't around when she was trying to even apply this. The same thing when it come down to Adam and Eve. You notice that Adam was not around when the devil was trying to seduce Eve. So we see a lot of times all this happen. When the male is not around, here comes the spirit of adultery. And here comes the tempter. Well, it's the same thing that happened in the church. Same happened in the church a lot of times. And this is why we cannot get complacent. And the reason why we're talking about this, because this is when we talk about washing the feet, this have a lot to do with people that's coming back from battle. You see, people that's been in battle, been in war. And it's got a lot to do with this. And this is how this have to be preached, because this is the way it's supposed to be preached. And what happened is that a lot of these pastors and a lot of these teachers have not been preaching it this way. They've been preaching it in the wrong manner, talking about sins and people thinking, excuse me, people thinking that, oh, I've been washed clean and sin. And that's not exactly what he was talking about. Now let's go into Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21. Now it says, "For the shepherd have come." Well, he said, "The shepherd have become." And notice he didn't say that they wasn't his shepherd at this time. He said, "For the shepherd have become stupid and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered." So notice that if you do not seek out the Lord and seek the God for his advice, that is a principle. See, I when I preach, I try to get people to understand this, that the principles of God are concrete. You can't get around them. I mean, for some reason, people think that they can live without them and get around them. You can't get around them because God has created this whole system already. So everything you're doing is just dead work. So like when you think you can get around it, you really can't. You know, it's not like, you know, the man law where it's set up where you can run a red light and maybe no one sees or run a stop sign or speed sometime. God has this system set up that automatically when a person break that law, automatically things are happening. They're activating that judgment. It's going to happen. Even a person think it ain't happening, it is happening. It's going to happen. So notice how God is showing you this principle. And this is one of the things that Zechariah had died. They killed Zechariah for because Zechariah told them this right here, that why do y'all choose not to follow God's commandments and so you won't prosper? And this is the same thing Jeremiah is saying. And this same thing with God saying here in Jeremiah, "For the shepherds have become stupid and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they have not prospered, and all their flocks is scattered." They are scattered. And that's what we see a lot of times. Just because people are all together do not mean they scatter. We see this all the time. Everybody have to be on one accord. You have everybody in their own mindset, their own agenda. Everybody's mindset scattered over here, over there. You may have 20,000 people in a place, but they all got different agendas, different mindsets. And that's what happens when a pastor is not operating under the male anointing and not operating under God. Each individual is supposed to be operating in all these abilities. You're not just supposed to operate as a pastor. See, that's the problem. You're supposed to operate in your evangelist, apostle. Okay, so for instance, I'm operating my evangelist, my prophet, my apostle ability, and my teacher and pastor. Everybody has the fivefold ministry in them as one. They don't understand this. They don't believe this. Even though the scriptures said this, and like I said, a lot of times people fall victim to certain teachings that's in the Bible that they don't understand what those men were saying. A lot of people think that the teachings were scattered. Like, for instance, God just scattering everybody in different parts. That don't mean that you don't have all the fivefold ministry. That don't mean that you don't have the four faces. You ain't possessing this. That don't mean that. But people ordinarily think that, and that's why we see contradictions that goes on all the time. And then when people come around and tell you the truth, sometimes people don't. They don't want you to take that, you know, that bottle out their mouth. They've been, you know, they've been a baby a long time, and they like sucking on it. But I want you to understand, these are true principles, and you can't get away from them. So notice God is saying by leadership not sorting him, not seeking him, they going to what? Fail. So it's no other way around it. That means when they do not sought the Lord about his sheep. You know, notice that he said their flock became scattered. When they don't seek the Lord about his sheep and what he wants them to do and operate in the system that he has created, it's going to fail. It automatically is going to fail. Everybody with it is going to fail along with it. And the principle and the principles that God is saying is nowhere around them. So the judgments will be done on this. So if a person not doing this, automatically you're going to get the consequence. And the people that follow them is going to get the consequence. The same thing when people please people. And we see people please. But let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31. "They come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words." Now, we see this happen every Sunday, every Wednesday. People sit there and they look like they so into God. And God talks about these people here. He say, "But they do not do them, for they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouths, and their heart goes after their own gain." You see, so notice we were just saying that's why the people get scattered. Because notice we just got to saying how in Jeremiah 10:21, how when you don't seek the Lord, you won't prosper, and the sheep will be scattered. And they'll be scattered doing what? Seeking their own gain. So you notice that here in Ezekiel talks about the people once this is happening. And you have people in there who, that's what they are. They're seeking their own gain. And when people are seeking their own gain, they're not seeking the glory of God. And when they're seeking their own gain, they're not seeking the glory of God. They're seeking the glory of themselves. And they're not seeking the glory of God. And when they find themselves doing this, you know what? Then it's a level of education that they will not receive. It's a level of anointing they will not go to, they will not get to. And instead of, like I said, instead of keeping that 30,000 you're worrying about, that comfort, you start to lose, meaning that you start to get more dumb and stupid. That's why God said these shepherds have became stupid. Complacency would do that. It don't go, when you stay in complacency, you start to go, it's like spiraling. After a while, a person starts spiraling back down worse than they was before. And so complacency is something that God do not believe in. And no believer should believe in complacency. You see, complacency is not something that, it's a difference between being content and complacency. And a lot of times the two get confused with people interpretation of it, but it's a big difference between the two. And when you have this happening, when you have these pastors patty caking this, or these reverends and whoever, whoever in leadership, when they patty cake these things, they forget the whole thing of what God was saying in the beginning. Now, of course, we go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And they say, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creepy thing that creeps and crawls on earth. Now, a lot of time when people get this, you know, confused about this. Now, the reason why I say this is because it's different kind of interpretation people use on this. Because what they don't understand is that they what they don't get is that it's different kind. The man God talking about was not completely Adam. And that's what they kind of get tripped up on. Notice that God say, according to our likeness. That means just like us. A lot of times people think, notice that Adam did not completely see. He did not see the image of God. He did not see the image of God. The scriptures even show you he didn't see the image of God. He noticed that he didn't have the likeness of God. When God brought the animals to Adam, you know, not the animals, because that's not completely what it says. It says the beast of the field and the birds of the air. Those actually represent people. When God brought the beast of the field to Adam, you notice that Adam didn't like that situation. God said man should be alone. He didn't just create at that time Eve. He didn't. He brought the beast of the field, the bird of the air. Now, notice that God is too intelligent to just mess up on that situation. He's too intelligent to say, oh, well, why didn't I just do that first? He's too intelligent to mess up on that situation. You know, so he knew exactly what he wanted to do. God wanted Adam to have wives as nations, meaning that the nations he ruled over, like God has wives, like, for instance, Israel, Samaria, these was wives of God, you see. God talks about them all through the scriptures as being his wives. Even Sodom, he talks about them. Then you look at Jesus representing his bride. Notice his bride is not a physical female. It's a group of people. It's a nation. It's a church. It's a nation of people. It's a group of people. Notice how Jesus took that. He didn't come get a physical woman. He did exactly what God is doing. Adam did not want that. Adam wanted a physical woman. And everybody blow this off as that, but he wanted a physical woman. And therefore, he did not agree with God. He did not see what God was looking for. What God wanted, he didn't. That's why I say God put him in a deep sleep. Another thing is say God gave Eve to Adam. Okay, notice gave as a gift. Now, when God gave Eve to Adam as a gift, Eve became defiled, because God said in Ezekiel, that he let those people who will not follow his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, he let the gifts that he gave them, he let them defile themselves with it. Eve was a gift that God given to Adam. He let it defile Adam. And that's why Adam messed up before Eve even came in the picture. People, I don't know why they can't see this. Maybe it's the level of revelation. I don't understand. But it messed up before then. And see, by people not understanding that, that's why when Jesus came, he was the new man. He was the one that's supposed to be. He's the one who's God talking about here. That's the one he wanted. Adam did not live up to that expectation, because Adam wasn't living up to their expectation. Okay, so automatically people take man in general as just that. You see, where when God spoke this, he was speaking this just to that man. No, he was. This is the man he was talking about was Jesus in the whole time, the whole place. He was talking about him the whole time. Let's go into Genesis. Let's go into Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, because then we're finna get. I'm gonna get you right into what we're talking about, the foot washing. Now, because I have to take you through this for you to understand the foot washing. And it said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Commandments that God is saying even right now. Have not changed. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. Notice that's one. Be fruitful is one commandment. One. Be fruitful. And what did Jesus say? Bear fruit. John chapter 15. Jesus say what? Be fruitful. Did your Father glorify in this? Be fruitful. So you notice that you can't not be fruitful. That's something God said in the beginning, and it's still the same. He also said to multiply. Multiply means to increase. Multiply means to increase, mean no poverty, no lacking. Okay, no lacking. Now, notice that you don't want to lack in no thing. You don't want to be lacking in anything. And a lot of times people look at it as money and materials. No, you don't want to be lacking in anything. Okay, anything that that's God has given unto you, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, power, anointing. You don't want to be lacking in anything at all. You don't want to be lacking in nothing. You want to be prepared for every good work. Now, that takes submitting yourself. That takes submitting yourself. And that's one of the things that people got to understand. To dominate, you must be submissive. Submissiveness is your power. That's the greatest thing you can do. Being submissive to God is the best thing you can do. That's where your power lies. Knows, and that's what being weak means. My weakness, that's what being weak means, being submissive to God. Be fruitful, multiply means to increase. And remember, Paul said we're supposed to increase daily in knowledge. You know, a lot of times people see that knowledge puff up. You know, I'm hearing my cousin was talking about this. He's preaching this. I think some people that didn't was stuck on this, and he had to break it down for them. But, you know, people, they preach this, you know, they take that wrong when they say knowledge puff up. And they take it in the wrong manner to think people with the knowledge of God get puffed up and arrogant and lose their apples or something. No. But actually, when people who take notice that, and that, if that's the case, Paul be contradicting himself when he telling you that you're going to increase in this. Then he telling you to increase in the knowledge. He tell you to go after the knowledge and build up in the knowledge of the new man, to build up in the knowledge that's the new man that's made out the image of God. So he's telling you to constantly seek this, to constantly increase, to constantly set your goal to go for the higher calling. So he's telling you to go further in the knowledge, to take in more. So he's not talking about physical knowledge, natural knowledge. He's talking about spiritual knowledge, you see. But natural knowledge, that's what it does, because God have two kind of meanings for stuff. He has spiritual and he has physical knowledge. We have physical meanings for spiritual. So what he's doing is he used animals, other things. He used, like, for instance, animals, signs. He used examples that are physical, but they have spiritual components. So so you understand the natural, and then you also understand the spirit. So he want to show you those things. So you have to take both meanings. But what people do sometimes, they just take the natural things, and when they take the natural things, it kind of, you know, it's ordinarily, it's like automatic. When a person just in the natural education of things, like, for instance, when people know about the body, they're obsessed with the body, and they know about the body from the medical standpoint. There's nothing wrong with knowing about that, but that's all the knowledge that they're seeking. They're not seeking the spiritual wisdom of God. They're not seeking the glory of God to operate in it. When they do this, it becomes this arrogance. Then I start saying, I'm the best one that's doing it. I'm the best doctor, you see, and they had this arrogance. And we see it happen all the time with scientists. Our scientists are always trying to beat other scientists. They're always competing with other scientists. And you notice that, you know, how Jesus just shut them down, Peter and them down from competing, John and James. He shut them down and said, hey, listen, if you want to be the greatest, actually got to be the one who's most humble, the one who's going to be the most weak one, the more servant, the one that's got to do all the work to be down there. Now, notice how when he said that, hey, everybody got quiet because no one wanted to be that guy. But they had the wrong kind of knowledge. They had started taking it in the wrong manner. they start operating, and we know some things and we've seen some things, and they start to get puffed up about it and start thinking, well, you know what? We're going to be great one day. I'm gonna be the greatest. I'm the one going to be the man. And sometimes that can do that to people when they're not completely walking in the Spirit of God. When they just getting, you know, you just get, they getting bits and pieces here and there, or they taking more natural knowledge about it than they are spiritually. And sometimes they'll get puffed up like this, and I just seen people like this all the time. It turns to this, it's like they can't help themselves, and that's one thing I've seen. It's a principle thing. Automatically, that's what's going to happen to a person when they do that. It's like you see it in doctors, you see it in the lawyers, you see it in people who are highly educated. You start seeing it like they deteriorate into this thing and the arrogance that comes from it. And they have this arrogance. And we see it even with ball players. And we see ball players like this. And we see this arrogance that, you know, I understand you have enough confidence to be successful. That's part of what it is. We have to have confidence in God also to be successful. We can't have parasite thinking. We have to know who we are. And know who God is and what God sees about us. But, I mean, it's the arrogance that these people start to get, and they start to get this arrogance, and it started to consume them. And then we start to see how they be in trouble and things happen outside in their lives, and we start seeing their lives falling apart, or they have these big things happen, and you can see it just tearing at them. They're losing their families and kids and all kinds of stuff. Well, it's an arrogance that comes from this. It's just this knowledge is because what they've done is they try to acquire this without God, and they try to acquire this without God, and that's all they have. And it's automatically you're going to fail because that's how God has it set up. You know, without Him, you're going to fail. You know, how is you going to prosper? So it's people who think they can use some principles and they can actually be successful in the world, which we see happen quite often, but it tears at them. And like I said, it's going to destroy them. It's set to destroy them because, you're trying to do it without God. So eventually it will destroy them. And if it don't destroy them, it's going to destroy the family. So you see their generation down the line just seriously decaying because that's what it's going to do. Now, notice God said here, be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth and subdue it. Now, fill also means refill. So we've seen fill and refill. And it also says subdue it. Then he said this, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, birds of heaven, I'm sorry, and over everything, notice this, everything that moves on the earth. So everything that moves on the earth, you're supposed to be dominant over it. And that's spiritual. That's things that are spiritual. That wicked things that are spiritual, things that's on the planet, that's on the earth. Anything come here shouldn't be here, come here like this to be doing what it's doing. Notice that you're supposed to have dominion over that. There's moves up on earth. Well, this is the problem a lot of people having, okay? This is the problem a lot of people having, and they're not seeing when they do this, when they're not seeing when they do this. So let's go into this now. So the first 30 minutes or so, we was just going into this. I want you to understand that. So bear with me, because a lot of times we have people who, nowadays, you know, I heard a guy tell me, he said, listen, you can't do long teachings anymore because people don't listen. And they really, and you know, I don't believe all of them don't. We have a lot of people that comes out here that they're diehard fans of God and they're ready for spiritual warfare. And if you're in the spiritual warfare, that's where you should be. And you're willing to follow Jesus through whatever, that's what you need. That's what you need to be. This is where you need to be. And this is the level we can talk at. And this is where you need to be at. You know, a lot of times people don't want to come to this level because they don't want to go through what it takes to get to this level. It's like anything else. You want to have a great body. Look like this and muscular built and this and that, but you got to put in the work. You know, it's not no quick plan. We see a guy have a great body like that, and we say automatically he just woke up and did some setups, and that's all he did. He just woke up and had these muscles. That's not how it worked. That individual put some years into working out hard, training hard, eating right, doing what he have to do to get that body, then to maintain. You know, but you know what? That's how people sell stuff. You see, they sell it by, hey, you can get a six pack in 8 minutes, you know, and in 6 minutes, you know, and it's like, you know, people try to sell that stuff to people. And we know that it's not, you know, stuff like that don't work. You know, you're going to have to add more to that. It just don't just do that. And that's all it is. And that's what happens. There's more to it. And so I pray that God brings out all the people who willing to go through this hour and an hour, 20 minutes, an hour and a half, whatever, this teaching, so they can truly be blessed. Because what we're finna get into is going to be some serious revelation for them. And from this point on, they can understand what is washing feet. And we had to go through that because that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to go through. Now, notice how the Holy Spirit has shown you in dominion, have dominion and to subdue. So we go to subdue. Now, he's talking about, now I ain't going to be able to go into this, but I'm going to just tell people who listen to this, check out Matthew chapter 12 and chapter 13. But we're going to go to some of it to understand that how this means spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare he's talking about. Now, when we're talking about the whole thing of washing feet, you know, we forget a lot of times that washing feet, people washed feet back then when people came from long journeys and battles, which that usually represents the journey is that battle. You know, a lot of time, a lot of us is going through things. We're having tough weeks, spiritual battle we're going through. We're spiritual warfare. We're going through preaching the word, fighting against things. And then all of a sudden, you know, sometimes that can take a toll on you. I don't care who you is. If you've been through it, it can take a toll on you. And you need you need that refreshment. You see, you need that confidence. You know, usually when you get that victory, you feel good about it, but you need that refreshment. And that's why God usually gives you a higher level of anointing. You know, we get that cup of water. We see where when you go through it, there's a different level that you're at now. And when you're at a different level, you get a whole other anointing. You start to see things a little bit more. It's like God opened up your eyes every level. And so when a person going through each battle that he's taking through from the Canaanites to the when he takes from the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and when he get past those and you start in the seven, then he start going into the Jezebels and the Balaams, and then he gets you past that and he start going into the spirit of adultery and you're going through all these different spirits that God taking you to different levels, and you're dealing with just these other spirits going to, you know, from the Syrian spirit to the Philistine spirit, this different levels that you go, that God is sending you to, believe me, you get an anointing on each level. God give you that cup of water. He's giving you that refreshment. And a lot of times people see people that's highly anointed and they say, well, they just think they woke up that way. It don't work that way. You know, it doesn't work that way. You got to put in, anything, you're going to have to put in for it. And if you're afraid to suffer, if you're afraid to go through war, then you know what? God called you for this. This is a higher calling. And God called you for this. You know, Peter told you that, and Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, both, he talk about suffering. But he tells you that in Peter about, you was called to suffer, just like Christ suffered. You was called to suffer. So for people that don't like being uncomfortable, you're going to have a problem picking up that cross because it's all uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable a lot of the times. And one thing about God, he likes to put you in situations that it's uncomfortable because he likes to break you of that habit of feeling like I want to be uncomfortable. You know, I mean, I want to be comfortable. He likes to put you in situations when you're uncomfortable. So therefore you can get adjusted to understanding that this is how this is going to be. This is not going to be something that's, you know, cupcakes and lollipops all the time. You know, this is not going to be the pretty much like we see Assyrian preachers. We see the Syrian spirit like for people to preach their happiness and blessing. And that's one of the things the Syrian spirit does. It has people want this happiness and blessing, you know, because that's what Assyrian means. That's what the name means. They actually mean the same thing as Asher, which means blessing and happiness. And that's what we see that a lot of these preachers preaching nowadays. Oh, you should be just happy and blessed and happy. And that's what the Syrian spirit wants you to be, nice and docile, so because that's the way he's attacking you, those people. He's keeping those people nice and docile, happy and full of joy, and make them think they're blessed. Because if he do that, he ain't got to worry about them fighting against them. So he ain't got to worry about them wanting their feet washed because they'll be too busy being happy and blessed. And then they'll wake up and they'll wake up in hell, or they'll wake up and find out that they done lost their spiritual calling. That they even wasted all this time. They've been tricked because they've been too concerned about their own glory of being blessed and happy instead of worrying about God's. And instead of understanding that God wants you to be in sorrow sometimes. He wants you to be brokenhearted over things that goes on in this place and all the souls that has fallen victim to not using their potential and coming and being like as he wants you to be as him. All the people, all the stuff that we allow into the earth to run and roam because of it. You know, because of our delusions of just so being and self-involved, and the fakeness of our generosity, the fakeness of our love, the soulish love that we think this is the love of God, the insult to God, the insult to anyone who God sent and servants, the insult to this, just insulting them with this soulish love and thinking this is what God wanted, and this is not the love that God is showing. And anytime someone stands and say, hey, listen, this is what this is, and people say, hey, that's not showing love, because you know why? When a person is speaking words that is causing discomfort, and when they cause discomfort and make a person question themselves, hey, they're condemning me. Hey, this is not what I want to hear. And see, that person is showing you more love than you can believe, but you don't see that as love. You see these preachers who are telling you what you want to hear is love, you see. And that's what a lot of times people like to take to those messages, those soulish messages. But let's get to the foot washing now. Now, I want to show you this. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're talking about the foot washing here. Now, notice this here. So David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked Joab and the people. He asked about Joab and the people, how they fared and how the war was going. Now notice it's a war happening, how they fared and how the war was going. So you know it's a war happening and a war going on. And he said, well, how the war is going. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. Wash your feet. And Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a presence from the king. And it said, but Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. So he didn't go down to his house. He didn't get his feet washed. He didn't go down to his house. It says, when they told David, Uriah did not go down to his house. David said to Uriah, you have just come from a journey. Notice, you just have come from a journey. Why did you not go down to your house? So you see how washing your feet, he just came from a journey. You see, now what was the journey? He just came from war. He was warring about. He was fighting. When he came out, he said, listen, let me wash your feet. Go down to your house, get your feet washed. You see? And that's mean to get yourself comfort, to go down there and get the dirt washed off of you. You know, that's not nothing to do with sin. Let's go into Genesis chapter 18, verse 4. And this is when God came to Abraham. It said, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Now this is when Abraham have God coming. Now notice God them coming for judgment. See, God is coming here for judgment. Now notice that's what God coming for. God coming because he found out about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's investigating what we call spiritual investigation. He's coming down. He heard about them. He heard the cries they praying to him. He's coming down for himself to see what's happening. So he's finna go into battle. So he's coming down ready to put judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. So notice how he said, Abraham said, hey, let me wash your feet and rest yourself, you know, under the tree. Now notice he's trying to get him to give him food and water, wash his feet in water. Now let's look at this here. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 2, where the angels is going to Lot. They're going to destroy this Sodom and Gomorrah. Now watch what happened here. And he said to this Lot, now Genesis chapter 19, verse 2, and he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Now notice that they said no, they rejected. We should spend the night in the square. Notice that Uriah did the same thing at that point. He said no, he spent the night in the square because it was something to miss. Now, what I want you to see is that notice how washing your feet came from comfort. You see, it was about comforting the person, getting the person rest. Okay, that's what that was about. It was not about. Oh, these guys, you know, let me wash your feet because you sin. The angels didn't sin. Why are you going to wash their feet? God didn't sin. Why are you going to wash his feet, Abraham? I mean, so it was not about sin. You see, it was about comfort. It was about rest. It was about building them, refreshing them. It was not about anything of that nature. Because they sin. Because if that's the case, then you're going to tell God when he comes to God, you know what, you've been sinning, come and wash your feet. That's have nothing to do with that. So that whole myth of that is out the water. That's not having to do that. They're going to tell the angels that God's son too, that they was full of sin too. That's not what that meant. That was not what that was about. But for some reason, as we see a lot of times, things get, you know, as we see things get, what we say, mishandled. Now, let me show you how this means more so in battle. Now, we talk about in battle. Now, we go to Matthew. Now, we go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Now, anyone who truly know the word of God know how Jesus do things. And the way Jesus do things, notice the whole chapter of Matthew 10, from the beginning to the end, Jesus actually talking about the same thing. So a lot of times people just look at a verse and think that's all. No, he's talking about the whole thing in that whole chapter. And that whole chapter of 10, he's talking about that. And he could be talking about the whole thing in 10 that he's talking about in 12. And see, a lot of times people don't pay attention to those things, and they just look at the verses, and they say, wow, and they'll take that verses out, and they'll preach the verses. But let's see how this works. Now, Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, it says this, and whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now, notice how Jesus told them, and whoever gives one of these little ones, now remember the little ones are the ones for the kingdom of heaven is for. Notice he pointed to his disciples at this. He's saying, if anyone whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of water, because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will lose the reward. Now, notice he said that. Now, this is in this is Matthew 10, verse 42. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And it said this, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. And then it goes into the names of them. Now notice that he gave them authority over the unclean spirit. He gave them all this. Notice authority. What God was doing, and the same thing we could start back in the beginning. He gave them an authority to go out over the unclean spirits, to get rid of diseases, to do all these things. Now notice, he did this first. So he's sending them out ready for battle. He's giving them authority, getting them ready. Then he goes and said, let's go to Matthew chapter 10. We're still in chapter 10, verse 8. Now notice in chapter 8 what he says. Heal the sick, raise the dead, clean the lepers, cast out the demons. You receive without pain, give without pain. Now notice, Jesus tells them this in chapter 10 and verse 8. In chapter 1. Now notice, in verse 1. Now notice, let's go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now the cup of water and washing of the feet are both the same thing. You notice that when Jesus was dealing with the woman from Samaria, he did the same thing with the woman with Samaria. He did. Let's go into that. Let me see. First, before we go into that, let's go into Luke chapter 7. Let's go into Luke chapter 7, verse 44. He said this, turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I enter your house. Notice this, I enter your house. You gave me no water for you had no water for my feet, but she hath wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Now notice that when he went to this man's house after knowing that he was in his spiritual body, casting out demons, he'd been casting out demons, raising the dead, he's preaching the gospel, he's doing all this. And notice that when he came to his house, he gave him nothing. The man did not replenish. Now notice that this woman is a female. And this is very interesting because we were talking about the ministries earlier. Now notice this woman is a female that's doing this. And I just, and notice she's a female that's taking care of him when he came in. Now notice that she was a woman. Now notice that Jesus talked to the woman in Samaria. Notice it was a female in Samaria. The woman, he asked for a cup of water. Now why did he ask? Notice how the Holy Spirit made you think about this, where it says that the disciples was like shocked by this. They were trying to figure out, they were surprised that Jesus was with a woman and with this woman, he was dealing with this woman like this. And notice, the woman on the hand, Jesus asked the woman, hey, can you give me some water? Now, why that's so important? Because women always drew from the water. You see, they always drew water. Like, for instance, they always drew water all the time. And when you look at it, even Israel, that was just the Israelites, that was a thing. The females always drew water. That's why you notice you always catch the women at the well. When a man wanted a woman, all you had to do was go out to the well and wait for the woman to come. That's how Abraham's servant, one of the signs, he was waiting for her with Rebecca at the well. So you notice how they was always at the well. You know, everybody met their women from the well. Rebecca was at the well. Rachel was getting water from the well. You know, when Moses was met his wife, there was the seven women from Midian. Notice that he was coming to the well. Everybody was thirsty that was on journeys coming to the wells. And notice the females was there to draw the water. They was there with the water. Usually they the one, because that's what they did. They drew the water. And that female represents the pastoral ministry. It represents the pastor ministry. Well, you see the pastor teaches the females. You see, notice that how they come, they're supposed to be a shepherd. Well, a shepherd is supposed to have that ability to comfort the sheep. You know, you walk in the sheep been walking for a while. You know, they're in some discomfort now. It's your job to kind of just come in there to give them water and food and help them or whatever else, and give them that comfort that they need. And that's one of the main things, the job pretty much of a pastor, of a shepherd, we would say, to do, to take care of the sheep in that manner. Not to take the sheep for his own, not to have the sheep doing something that is not designed to do, you know, but to do that. And then the woman, we notice that Jesus told a woman to give him some water. The woman, did she give him the water? No. She wasn't trying to give him the water. You know, she's just shocked that he asked water from a person like her. And he told her, if you ask water from me, I would have gave you water. Okay. Now notice, why did Jesus want water? See, he came there. We'll say, oh, because of the analogy of what it is. No, notice that he came there. He was thirsty. He said he seen a woman. He told the woman to give him some water. Okay. He's in a long journey. Okay. Now notice the same thing, no matter what we're looking at. Notice that he coming in this man's house. In Luke chapter 7:44, the man invited him over to the house, but the man don't even offer him. The man don't wash his feet. You see, the man doesn't wash his feet, anything like that. And if anybody know about a story in Samuel about Mephibosheth, if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 9, it talks about Mephibosheth. And if you go actually after that, if you go into after that, it's like 13, 14 chapter, when you're talking about Absalom, the rebellion of Absalom, it talks about Mephibosheth again. Mephibosheth came in. Because he didn't go into battle. When David went to battle and Joab and them battled, you know, and they won against Absalom, when they came back and returned from this battle and this long journey, the other Mephibosheth never, he was a cripple and he wanted to stay crippled. That's how it is with the church. A lot of people in the church, they're crippled and they want to stay crippled. They don't want to take no more responsibility. So he did not come with them. And David asked him, why didn't you come with us? He said, well, you know, your servant is crippled. And then he tried to throw blame on Zimbai and say, well, you know, my servant dealt hard with me and harsh with me. He made up every excuse. He just didn't want to come to the battle. And he said, David seen that he didn't wash his feet. You see, his feet wasn't washed because his feet was still wasn't washed. It was filthy. You see, and you know why? He never went to battle. He never did anything. See, he stayed around there, and you know what happened? Notice that David seen that his feet was not washed. He was in bad condition because he was sticking around there with Absalom. Absalom was not the shepherd that was going to wash your feet. He was not going to bring comfort to anyone. His thing was to be comfort to him, and he wanted to rule, you see. And that's why when David was there, Absalom, he made sure Absalom's feet was washed. He made sure certain things was going on, but Absalom, like I said, Absalom's feet was not washed. And that's what a lot of, and we see a lot of this going on in the church. These people's feet have not been washed, and they have not been comforted in the right manner. A lot of these people haven't went on journeys. They have not went into battle. They have not went out and did the work of God. So therefore, they can be comforted. You know, they go out there and actually get theirself, what we would say, get yourself dirty. Go out there and go through wars, go through the battle, and get that accumulation. And when they can come in and get that water, you know, they go out there and then they come back with that thirst. And a lot of times people are not really doing that. They're not doing that, and this is because they're thinking that, well, this is about sin. No, this is not about sin. Notice that how this is about battle. Jesus talking about cast out the demons, preach the gospel. All this is battle, and all this is spiritual warfare. He's talking about going through and doing. And that's what the cup of water is for. That's why he talks about whoever gives somebody. Now, notice that when people in spiritual warfare come back and they're coming in, the people in the church coming in, the sheep coming in from being out there on a long journey for out there warfare, doing what God say do, and they coming back in and they just need that cold cup of water. You see, that's what that shepherd is for. That's what people are supposed to do with each other. You know, a person come in and say, man, you know, that was hard what I went through, man, and that's what we're supposed to refresh each other. You say, hey, man, let me wash your feet. Let me refresh you. See, these are the things that we have to get into doing, you see. And this is why it's all over the place. This doesn't have nothing to do with sin. In that case, then we would say God was evil and full of sin because Abraham, why would Abraham offer to wash his feet unless he's washing sin off of him? And we know that's not the case. We know it wasn't the case with any of those, the angels or anything. The angels was not evil. They was not full of sin and stuff to this nature. That's not what it was. And when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it wasn't because they was full of sin or anything like that. It was nothing to that nature. But I don't know why it's been preached that way, because a lot of times it's preached that way because people are not listening to the Holy Spirit, and they don't let the Holy Spirit take them back to the back of the Bible, to the front part of it. You know, a lot of people stay in that New Testament, and then they don't go no further. They let the Holy Spirit take them to the beginning and move forward. A lot of times they don't do that. That's why most people you come across is like, do you know about this? They're like, no. Like, you didn't read that? Do you even know where Paul got this from? Like, no. Well, Paul got that from the story of Esther, or he got that from this. Most everything we got it from the Gospels, or they got it from the New Testament. A lot of people think the Gospel wasn't around when they was around. It had to be. How else it was wrote? How else it was wrote? If these guys preaching from the Gospel of Jesus, you see? And so a lot of times people don't think that was out. Like, that wasn't out. Well, Paul preached from it. How else can he preach from it? He wasn't around when it happened. So he preaching from it. The rest of them preaching from it, it was wrote. You know, a lot of times people think it wasn't wrote. Well, hey, it had to be wrote. James had to be wrote before he was dead. And he was dead before most of all of them was. So therefore, it had to be wrote. So things were wrote. It just people think, I guess people, you know, in mind state think this way because they've just been taught not to let the Holy Spirit show them these things. And this is why a lot of these things happen where we see stuff like this. I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures here. Judges chapter 19, verse 21 talks about washing of the feet. 1 Samuel 25, verse 41. She arose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my Lord's servant. And notice that. I love that. Notice she said, notice the female once again. Behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of your Lord, the Lord's servants. Okay? So notice how that's that female. That's the female ministry. To wash those feet, you see, to give that cup of water. That's what they're supposed to be there for. they're not supposed to be controlling the church as we see they do. It's not supposed to be that. They're the female ministries, not the male ministries. And it's not supposed to be what they're doing. And that's why I say when you do things against principles, against what it's supposed to be, this is why we have the chaos that we have in all this, and this we have the complacency. And this is why the demons are running loose and they're not being cast out. They're actually coming in, starting churches, been doing it. This is why the church is not subduing anything. They're not being fruitful. They're not being fruitful. They think numbers of people is fruitful. That's not fruitful. That's like Vince, what Jesus, notice Jesus said that the Pharisees, he say that the Pharisee will cross, you would cross the seas. You know, and notice the seas represent, we know the seas represent a couple things. Sometimes we know the seas represent the wicked. We also know the sea represent nations. They also represent nations of people, the sea. So we also know it represent, you know, the sea represent nations. So notice he said you would cross the seas was another way of saying you would go nation to nation to convert a person, to turn a person to what you are. Notice how everywhere the disciples went to try to preach, they had these guys pop up. And then when what happened when they try to get people to believe that the disciple was evil, then they start preaching their gospel. So, I mean, notice how when Paul came back in Acts, what was it, Acts 20? I think it was Acts 20. I would be on the safe side and say go to Acts from Acts 8, 17 to Acts 20. But I remember when Paul came back and he was telling them that he was going to Jerusalem. He wanted to go up there, and the people, the Holy Spirit was telling him not to. And Ananias, no way. And they were showing him what was going to happen to him. And Paul then was listening. He rebelled and against the Holy Spirit, and he went up there anyway. And the man was telling Paul, James, he was telling Paul, he said, listen, look at all these people that we didn't got came to the faith now. All of them are zealous for the Torah. They're all zealous for the, you know. And so notice that they was on a mission to bring in more people. Yes, because more people was more money, it was more success. So they were zealous to want to do that. They wanted to bring in more people to what they was doing. The problem is they was just doing the wrong thing. And so notice Jesus told them every time you cross land and sea, but you notice that pretty much nation to nation, you're going to just to change it, to get a person to convert from you. But when you do this, you just make them twice as hell, you know, child of hell as you are. And we see that in the Catholic churches where we see billion people in their ministry. They go all over the place. There's people, and that's another thing. They go out and they reach places that most people don't go to. Most people don't go to or have the funds at the moment to go to. And really when you look at the American churches, well, American churches are people that's built up of people being called from the streets. So you got people who've been called. I've been called from the streets. I'm called from over here. I'm called from college. I'm called from this. And these guys all go out and start their own individual ministries and their own individual churches. And they're not actually connecting with each other. Like, of course, the ministries, where you say how Catholic ministry is with these guys, what is all the organization they got to a point to being, just like the Pharisees, become this big old organization of religion. And as a religion organization, and it becomes so big that they have all these resources and all this clout and all these people that they know and so much influence, and they take over so many different areas that they can go to because the fact of the matter, they can afford to do such a thing. And so notice that the disciples didn't have that ability either to go everywhere and to be able to do what the Jews was able to do. This is something that had been going on for years and years, and this is a bigger establishment than those guys. So they were able to take up more space than Paul then was able to take up, Peter then was able to take up at that time. These guys who had more resources, more people, more this, more that. And so those guys had a lot of influences in a lot of places. So, you know, we see that same thing today, like I said, with the Catholic Church. You see the same thing. They'll cross land, sea, and they'll go to nation to nation, and they'll give these people some clothes, some food, win them people over on soulish things, give them the things for the body they need, you know, and they'll say, oh, they nice, and give them, tell them what they want to hear, and then plug them into what they believe. And if they going to hell, they taking them to hell with them. If they're not to the level they need to be educated-wise, then that's the education going to stop there. If they're been deceived, so are they. And the level stops there. And we see that happens quite all the time. We see that happens all the time in these different denominations. And that don't change the fact of the matter that God, people can be brought to God from anything. It's people that I've seen that have been brought from God through Cali. They are not in it anymore, but they came through it, and they got born again, learned the truth, and got out of it. But the thing is that they came through it. So we've seen people who came through other ways. These people that started off, I was in Baptist church, and I found out that it was more to this than that. People that was in Pentecostal found out it was more than it was that. So it's people that they came to God through these people, you see. But that don't mean that they stayed there. They seen there was more to God. And they seen God had more than he wanted to know, and them being in those places was not going to get them anywhere. And he had a bigger purpose for them. And a lot of those other people, God trying to call them out of these certain divisions, that the anointing been gone out of these places, and these people not operating what he want. And people just still going on with the services like it's fine. You know, it's like we still going on with it. It's like it doesn't matter. You know, the beat don't stop. So we see this stuff happens all the time in the churches. And this is some of the reasons why people are not washing each other's feet. It's some of the reasons why people are not getting themselves in the warfare. This is the reason why people are not equipped for every good work. And this is something on a personal level. It's something that a person got to want to start designing themselves, you know. And they got to want to desire the Word of God. And, you know, a lot of times there's some people who debate the fact of the matter that those people have no choice. They're supposed to be what they are, and then they can't change. They can't change. And then there's the ones of people who – there's the people who can change. So it's people that debate that situation to say, well, you know what, those people are in those places because they just can't change. They was meant to be that way. And then it's those people who believe that's not true. Because if it was meant to be not true, then what would be the point of God raising up people to try to get them out of that place and be able to pull people out of that place and want them to be right? And what would be the reason him keep trying with people that would pretty much be defeating the purpose? I make these people where they ain't going to listen, but I keep sending people to try to make them listen, and I'm fighting so hard about it. But really, I don't want them to. So that would be saying that God, what God is doing, he's pretty much he's working in vain. It's a vain thing. It's like I'm making these people where they don't listen, but I'm trying so hard to make them listen. But really, I know they're not because I made them where they won't listen. So it pretty much his efforts of trying, it wouldn't be anything. It would be pretty much meaningless in that. I also want to say before we get out of here, this as well, is that I also see a lot of stuff people do in vain. You know, I know a lot of stuff people do in vain, a lot of people watching. Now, I'm a person that, you know, sports person. What I want you to understand, I'm talking to men in this. You know, these sports can be very addictive to people. That's what we grew up watching. They can be very addictive to people. And people put a lot of time into it. People start checking the interviews, checking the ESPN, checking the draft, checking this. People having these fantasy footballs and fantasy basketball things. People playing video games. Some of these things can get so strong on people's individual lives. And this happens to a lot of believers. Some of this stuff can get so strong on individual lives and start taking a hold of people. And so what I want you, with all the men, the believers I have, understand, and it's that do not let this thing take a hold on you. You know, focus more on the Word of God. Focus on more what God has for your plan for your life. Focus more on godly things. Focus more on standing in prayer. More than you are abiding in these things. This is Courtney Jones. Blessing and peace be to you. And I'm out.